Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
You know, if you're new to church, if this is your first time, or maybe you're watching online for the first time, if you're new to a space like this, we know that God has got something significant. Mike already mentioned it at the beginning, but I just want to reiterate, God has got something significant. And you know, even if you just kind of came here because this is your routine on Sunday, this is what you do, this is what we do as a family, I had to come here because whatever, you know, somebody said I couldn't eat lunch if I didn't come with them. You know what, God's got something significant. That in this kind of gathering, this is a unique gathering, and there's something unique that God does when his church gets together in a big group. Heaven is going to be crowded. Yes, it will. There will be lots of people, and it's going to be awesome. That's why we like it loud here, because heaven's going to be loud. God talks in loud voices. He is the voice of many waters, and he thunders. There's more scriptures and more descriptions of God being loud than they are of him whispering. That's why we like it loud. But there's something powerful about when we get together in a group like this. And even whenever we gather, whether it's a night like this or even Thursday night, first Thursday, everyone say first Thursday. First Thursday, this Thursday is an encounter night. 1 hour praise and worship. Man, God is going to show up in a big way. But there's something powerful when we get together. There's something that when we gather together, we experience something of the reality of God, his presence, his power in ways that you don't ever get just you and Jesus. You just can't. You don't even get it when it's just you hanging out with your Jesus friends, which is good. It's all important. But there's something powerful about our gathering. Everyone say, gather. When we get together like this, God shows up in a big way. But you know what? As awesome as this is, there is more. Everyone say, there's more. There's more. Because there's a different type of gathering that you experience something different of the love of God, the power of God, the presence of God in this other gathering, that it's different. And you need both. Everyone say both. You need both big group, and you need both a smaller gathering to thrive in life. And that's what we're going to look at today. We've been on this series on community. And you know, you might be wondering, why are you talking so much about community? Like, enough already. Get on to another topic. You know why we talk about it so much? Because our culture and our world today, disconnection and isolation is growing at ridiculously rapid rates. And it's not good. But the good news is, we as the church, we actually think we can fix that. We think we can do something about an epidemic in our world. And, you know, there's all these surveys. You know, they did a survey from 19, this is back in the late 80s, and they sent out this survey, and they asked people, how many, over the last 6 months, how many significant deep conversations have you had face-to-face with people? And the average was, over the 6 months, the average was about 3 people. Yeah, that's pretty low. About 20 years later, they did the exact same survey. Guess how many? 0. Isn't that brutal? But you know what? We as a church, that's what community, that's why what Jazz said about the first time you're a guest, the second time you're family, we really do believe that. And this is why the church is God's answer to the disconnect in our world. Does that mean we get it right all the time? Absolutely not. Because we're all humans, and we don't get it right 100% of the time. But we work on it, and we do whatever we can to try to make connection happen. And so today, that's what we're looking at in this series. Everyone say, I'm ready. I'm ready. And we're going to continue on. We're going to pull everything together over the last couple weeks with this little buddy here. Isn't he cute? He kind of looks like he's got like 2 little chubby thighs and a weird tail. Maybe he's, I don't know, kind of looks like half a dinosaur with a tree head. How many of you know what this is? It is a bonsai tree. You got it. Anybody else have a bonsai at home? You got a pet bonsai? Nobody else has a bonsai? Oh, you guys are missing out. This is actually not mine. I don't have a bonsai either. But it's cute. I've always loved these things. They're actually the coolest little plants because they're just so cute. I like cute things. That's kind of cute. Actually, the reason we don't have a bonsai is because we kill living things in our house. They just don't survive very well. All our plants seem to die inside. They don't grow very well. I don't know what it is. But I think the bonsai, you know what? Here's some cool bonsai facts. You know the smallest bonsai? You can fit it in the palm of your hand. It is a tiny little thing. Look at how tiny that is. Kind of looks like a pot plant. Like, look at the leaves. I'm like, I think it's pot. I don't know. Not that I know. Do you know the oldest bonsai on the planet today? 1,000 years old. Isn't that crazy? And the most expensive bonsai sold for $1.3 million. Yeah, what is right? Like, who would pay $1.3 million for a tree? Like, it's not even a real tree. It sort of is. I mean, it's alive. But there's some kind of cool things. If you're a really talented bonsai, like, groomer, gardener, whatever they call you, bonsai person, they've created, like, you just go search cool bonsais, and they're unique. You can make hobbit houses. One person crafted a bonsai into a hobbit house. And they're also, like, a little mini Brazilian rainforest tree. They're so cool. It looks just like, look at that. Like, that's just like the Brazilian rainforest there. Like, if you would go to Brazil, you would see the big version of that. It's really cool. They're so beautiful. Beautiful. Look at this last one. Like, this one is so exotic. Whoa, is right. Like, they don't grow like that. They come from a tiny little sapling. Isn't that crazy? Here's the thing. Do you know bonsai are not genetically dwarfed trees? They're not certain trees. Any tree can become a bonsai tree. I shouldn't say become. Any tree can be turned into a bonsai tree. And this is where the magic stops. Because put up our first little tree. This is a redwood bonsai. Yep, it's a redwood bonsai. That redwood is actually supposed to be this. Same seed. Same tree. There is nothing genetically different. They both started from the same seed, the same type of plant, but one never reached its potential. And my question for us today, for all of us in this room, is I wonder which kind of tree you are. Which kind of tree are you? See, what happened? See, as beautiful and as unique and as amazing as these little bonsai are, they're actually sad little trees. Because you know what the word bonsai means? It means tree in flower pot. Isn't that crazy? Tree in flower pot. How sad is that? In other words, the bonsai is in an environment that it was never designed to be in. It's in an environment that's limiting its potential. It's a tree that was created and designed by God for a forest, but it's stuck in a pot. Everyone say, sad little bonsai. Sad little bonsai. That's why bonsai are trees that they actually fail to reach its potential. Everything about them looks exactly like the big trees are supposed to be, except in miniature version. The branches are miniature. The leaves look exactly like a maple tree or an oak tree or the Brazilian rainforest tree or the great big redwood tree or whatever that tree is. It's just in tiny little version. Then the bonsai, unlike normal trees, the bonsai are high maintenance. You have to spray it and water it and groom it every single day. Normal trees, they stretch out their roots to get nutrients. Bonsai, you have to feed and fertilize it. And because they're in this protected environment, most of the time they're kept, they have no resistance to pests or disease. So they're kind of fragile. But the saddest thing about a bonsai, its only purpose is to look at me. The only reason for it is that it's supposed to take center stage in the room. In other words, everything is supposed to be surrounded to instead of, to make the bonsai look amazing. Tell the person beside you, don't be a bonsai. Don't be a bonsai. Don't be a bonsai. I want to talk to Christians for a minute. I want to talk to Jesus followers for a minute. So if you're here and you're like, I ain't a Christian, do I have to listen? No, you don't. You can go on Facebook, you can go on your phone, you can do whatever you want, or you could listen and you could get some ammo to use against the Christians that you might work with or go to school with that bug you, that you don't like. You can like, hey, I heard something on Sunday. This is what you're supposed to be and you're not doing it right. So I'm going to give you some dirt. No, I'm just kidding. I want to talk to Jesus followers for a minute. How many of us live like a bonsai? We look like the real deal. In fact, we look really good. But we're living so much smaller than how God created us. We're not living in the potential. We're living so much smaller than what God intends for our life. So what is our problem between our little bonsai and the big tree? What's the difference? Well, the difference is this. We're living potted when we've been designed to be planted. There is a big difference. I want us to look. Let's look at, they're going to put the verse up on the screen and we're going to read this out loud together. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. Are you ready to read together? Here we go. The righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they thrive in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. I love that. Everyone say planted, not potted. Planted, not potted. No, oh, I like you guys. Way to go, yelling louder. Planted, not potted. Bonsai Christians. Way to go, guys. Bonsai Christians. Here's the thing. Bonsai Christians like their pot. Maybe in more ways than one. Oh! I love you guys. Should be there every Sunday. Bonsai Christians. Here's the thing. Their roots don't spread out because they're in this cute little pot. And their roots just go round and round and round and round and round. And sometimes they get rooted pot, whatever it's called, pot bound, root bound. There we go. And you have to take it out and you have to stick it in another pot. Poor little bonsai, and they're fragile. See, bonsai Christians, we don't have the tough skin because we're not in the environment needed to build up that toughness. Critters come. Sickness gets into our soul. Bonsai Christians have no strength. With bonsai Christians, just like the bonsai tree, long-term care is the whole point. Just care for me. Care for me. See, bonsai Christians are all about church is there for me. But you know, every tree that's planted is there for another. Living, thriving trees in a forest are there for the other trees. They're there for the environment. They're there for other critters. Everyone say, I don't want to be a bonsai. I don't want to. So what is the solution? Well, we're going to look at what the bonsai could be. Let's look at these redwoods again. How many of you have ever gone and driven through the redwoods, either in California, or I call them kind of like their cousins out on the West Coast, like on the island, Vancouver Island. They're these huge, massive trees. I remember as a kid, we did this drive. I was trying to find the old picture of us because it would have been great for throwback from the 70s, but I couldn't find it. But you're driving, and it's like you're in... It's surreal, isn't it? Those of you that have been there and you see it because you're looking up and it's like, I can't see the top of that tree. Or you're driving in a park. There's this one place where your car can actually drive through the middle of the tree because they've turned them into tunnels. Or you go stand in them and it's like, we could live in this. This is like a little hut. They're huge. They're massive. These trees are so massive. And see, that's the thing with redwoods. They've been designed by God to be massive. And you know what? The same goes for you. God has designed you. And I love how scripture compares us to trees. You are a tree. You are like a tree. And the trees it compares us to are some of the strongest and most resilient trees. You're not compared to a little shrub. If you are, it wasn't in a good scenario in the Bible. But strong, resilient. What are palm trees? Man, they can stand up to storms. Storms come and they just keep bouncing back. Boom, you're not going to knock me down, hurricane. And these big, tall redwoods are massive. But this was so cool. The redwoods, they feed themselves. They have figured out a way to pump food from the roots all the way up 360 feet to the flipping top of that tree. That is a big tree. They feed themselves. They can get this. They even make their own rain. Isn't that crazy? The fog collects and it gets trapped on its branches and they turn it into rain and the fog becomes rain and then it drips down. That's why if you've ever walked, a lot of times you walk in the redwood forest or you walk in the forest out on the Vancouver Island where these big trees are and it kind of sounds like stuff is dripping. It's like it's making its own rain. And the rain goes down and it goes into its roots and it waters itself. There is no known killing disease to the redwoods. Their bark is a whole 12 inches thick, which means it can withstand forest fires. Isn't that cool? The branches, look at this. This is my favorite. Look at the critters. The branches are so far up in the sky, and there's somehow soil gets on these branches, and they call them sky-high worlds. They're actually other trees. That's not the redwood. Other trees start growing on their branches, and it's like they have this whole, it's this sky-high world where all these critters, and there's like moss and other plants and all these little critters, they think that's the way the world is. This is like my little world. It's all there is. Isn't that crazy? So these massive redwoods, they don't just have a home, they make home for others. And I want to be that kind of tree. I don't just want to have a home. I want to be able to make home. I want to create home for others. I love this. But what's even cooler is what's in them contributes and helps others. The wood is used, some of it's used for building, some of it's used in ways that we can use that help humans. But you know what else is cool? It's the oils that come from inside these trees when they bring these natural oils out. Those oils actually have healing properties to them. They can heal your body. They can actually cleanse your blood. So these redwoods, what's in them isn't just for them. It brings healing to others. I love it. But this is the key to the redwoods. You know what the key to their strength is? Believe it or not, they don't have super deep roots. Their roots only go about 5 or 6 feet down into the ground. How does a tree 360 feet tall withstand storms if your roots are only 5 feet deep? They go wide. And it's their connecting, they get intertwined and connected to all the other trees around it. And so a lot of this is above ground, but there's a lot even more underground. This underground connection of this connection from tree to tree, that's what enables them to stand strong when the winds, when the storm, when whatever comes at them, it's their connections. Everyone say connections. It's their connections. They have strength to withstand storms. It's their connection to this ecosystem where they're giving, but they're also receiving back. That's what makes them strong. Here's the reality. Every tree, everyone say every tree. Every tree was meant to be planted. Every tree was meant to be planted and not potted. This might be cute, but it's not its purpose. And you know what? God has put so much in you. God has packed so much in you. God has packed so much in us that there's too much in us to just be okay with being a little potted plant. And man, there is so much in you that God wants to do. And here's the reality. We have a very real enemy who from day one in the garden has tried to get humans out of the garden and into a nice little pot. So he can limit, so he can reduce down the potential that God has put in you to bring encouragement to us, to bring healing to others, to bring solutions to a broken world. See, if we're just stuck in a nice little pot, we can't bring the transformation to the world that the world is waiting for. Why do we have thousands and hundreds of thousands of people campaigning about climate change, government should fix this, government should fix this. You know who needs to be fixing it? God's people. But we can't do that if we're nice little potted plants that it's just about us. It's just about my life and just about me and just about it's there for me and there for me. God, I know He's got solutions to bring healing to our planet. I don't know what those are, but it's not God's idea and God's plan is He's given us the seeds to bring healing to our world. You need your roots connected. You need your ecosystem. In church life, what does this mean? Well, in church life, we call this groups. That's why parents, one of the best things that you can do for your teens on Tuesday night is get them to CLY, where they get connected. They get connected relationally. They get their roots down deep. I want to read some stories from people who, the impact of being in a group this summer had on some people. And these are real stories. I want to read some. Listen to this. I had a difficult time connecting with people outside my comfort zone. I was also feeling stuck in my relationship with God. It was easier sometimes to hide, so I did. I kept myself busy with everything else besides taking time for God, and I became isolated. I was in a group where the simple biblical principles that I had learned before were presented in a whole new way. It opened up a new perspective and encouraged me with a widened worldview. One particular night when I opened up and was vulnerable, I realized I wasn't alone and that I was still loved and accepted where I was at. I think the best change is that I resolved to put myself out there to reach out to others, even if I feel awkward. Plus, being in a group really rekindled my love for God's word. And it reminded me how much I love seeing myself and the world around me on the pages of the Bible. God opened up my heart to remind me that He sees me, He hears me, He knows every little detail, and He still loves me. This next one is so good. Before the strength group, I'd been struggling with trust and betrayal and the judgment and lack of connection that resulted. I began to think it wouldn't be possible to change, and I felt hopeless. It was in this group that I discovered that not only did I need to move forward, but I discovered the way to move forward. The forgiveness lesson was a massive revelation. It changed everything for me and helped me to see things differently. I love this. Listen to this. An issue I had held on to for 2 years disappeared from me just like that. As quick as the betrayal came, it left the same way. How powerful. I am now so excited and hopeful. I'm in awe over God's grace. The people He's put in my life will forever be in my heart, and this will go down as a moment when life changed forever. Oh, I love it. Here's another one. I was pretty fresh in returning to church, and I didn't have any close, healthy guy friends I could talk to. I felt stagnant. I was in a better place than I had been for years, but I also felt like I wasn't doing anything to deepen the connections I'd made. In the group, I was actually pretty surprised at how easy it was for me to open up about some of the issues I was dealing with and how easy it was for others to open up as well. There was a section that went over all the ways that we hold ourselves back, whether it's personal thoughts about ourselves or different coping mechanisms or vices, etc. I realized I wasn't the only one who had similar experiences to mine, and maybe there was truth to what was being taught. It's definitely a lot easier now for me to be open with things in my past, things that have made me who I am now. It's given me a great outline for things I need to do to be the man I want to be. And here's one final one. Finding a way to talk to people about my mental health and how it affected me was extremely difficult. I got to a point where I felt so low and lost that if I stayed there for much longer, I would have done something I would never be able to undo. Depression is something a lot of people face in secret, and then it hit me. That's exactly what I was doing. I didn't want people to know, and it made me feel guilty and alone the more I kept it in. I could put on a good mood, fake it to get things done. Because of that, depression had stayed for years, affecting everything around me. It felt like I was lost, and no matter what was going on, I couldn't shake the dark cloud that was looming over me. The truth is, I thought I could handle it. I had helped other people with it. So I thought I could do the same for me. The thing was, it didn't work, and I hated myself for feeling like this. And it was in this group that I realized I was in the right spot. The guys were there for me and helped by sharing from their own real and raw past and how they made it through. I come to the group to see how I could help them, and I left feeling like they had helped me. There was one night I won't forget, and the group band together in a circle and prayed for me. They prayed real prayers that made me feel true support, love, and understanding. And when I heard these men pray for me to be healed from depression and mental health, it was as if all at once I started really believing the words and receiving them as truth in my life, as if a light had been turned on and what had been so hard to see had now become unmistakably clear. I now feel lighter, stable, resilient, and strong. Every week has its ups and downs, and I recognize that I can feel upset or low at times, but that does not mean it has permission to stay. I'm not over this, but I have a confidence like a light I'm holding on to that I will get through this because my God is not done with me yet. Isn't that amazing? I love this. See, life transformation happens in groups. We need big group gather because you experience the power of God in a dimension like this that you don't get anywhere else. But you need groups where you share your story. You need groups where you have people around you to pray for you, to encourage you, to speak in you, and to get in your business when they need to get in your business. But most of all, we need to be in these settings so we can share our stories. People need your story. People need your story. Those stories are what connect us. It's through stories that we receive there's hope. It's through somebody else's story where you receive wisdom, where somebody else's story where you find out I'm not the only one. We need these settings. So what do we want you to do? Get plugged into a group. Today you can sign up. They're starting today. If you're not already, you can find all the information about groups on the City Life app. Just log on, down, go to the group section, or go to the community section. You can talk to somebody back at the info table today before you leave, or someone else that looks like they know what's going on. But get into a group. And you know what? If you've been here for 6 months or longer and you're not in a group, help facilitate a connection point for others. Just create a group. You're probably already doing something fun anyway, something you like to do with maybe another friend or two, and just say, hey, let's do this. Let's make it official, and then let us know so we can get it into the group thing and help other people be able to find you because you might meet your new best friends. People are like, hey, I like to do knitting too. Can we do that? I would like to come and knit with you. Or whatever it is. Go shoot things. The righteous. Everyone say the righteous. The righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They thrive in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green. Which tree will you be? I want to invite you to stand. I want you to close your eyes. Which tree will you be? Which tree will you be? And you know what? If you're, you know, guests here, you're new to City Life, you know what? This environment is the ecosystem your little tree self has been looking for. It really is. And we want to help you get planted. But if you've been coming to City Life for more than 2 weeks, are you a pot or are you planted? I want us to close our eyes. I want us to pray because I recognize connection. I recognize this kind of group thing can be difficult for people. If you've had painful or negative experiences or less than ideal, try again. And sometimes when we've had a not so great experience, maybe that's a way that God can help us and use us to initiate good experiences for others. And as I said, we don't get this perfect by any means, but we just keep trying because of stories like this. Because of people rescued out of depression, because of people that have been walking with Jesus for decades, had a fresh start, because people just getting reconnected into the house of God and finding their faith again, got breakthrough, because forgiveness was able to come after years of hanging on, and somebody's free today. That's because of groups. I want you to just pray, to say, God, just show me how I can stretch my roots out. I want to be planted. I don't want to be a pot. Just as everybody with the eyes closed, we're going to pray one final prayer, and it's a prayer of saying yes to Jesus, because that's where life starts. That's the greatest, that's the ultimate connection you want to make, because that's where a new beginning starts for you. That's where life starts. And this prayer that we're going to pray out loud together, and we pray out loud together because nobody prays alone. If you're watching online, you can pray with us too, wherever you're at. But this prayer is simply giving language. It's words. How do you say yes to what Jesus is offering you? Well, this is some of the words and how you can respond to him. So let's pray out loud to say, Jesus, thank you for everything that you made possible through your life, through your death, and through your resurrection. Thank you that when you rose from the dead, you started something brand new. And I say yes to this gift of new creation life, to following you and allowing your life to live through me and bring healing to my world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we give God thanks today?
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.